Hi, welcome everybody back to our Women in Worship podcast. What's up, everybody? How's it
going? We're so glad you're here.
Hey, so today we have one of our best pals in the house, Tara Banks from Seacoast Church in
Charleston. Not Charlotte.
Listen, I always want to say Charlotte. But Charleston. It is Charleston.
You know, if you get confused, it probably means you need to go to both places just to feel it out. So kind of have it in your mind.
Well, I'm coming to visit.
We gotta call it like a work trip. But really, like, you know, we're scouting for Tara.
Yeah, Charleston. Totally. Yes, and we also have one of our friends, Elise, with us, and she's going to hang out with us while we.
Hi guys. Yeah. Happy to be here.
You see her face all over Instagram with the shirts.
Yes.
Anyway, hey, we're so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
She's here because we're in the middle of a conference.
Thank you, Jesus.
Get to see her face to face. So this is always fun time. We were talking earlier on the way up here to get this done, and I said, hey, I've seen you 3 times this year. It's like a record.
It is a total record because I usually only get to see you guys. I mean, I'm lucky if I get to see you
maybe
twice,
once, right?
But our conference is usually the time that I get to see you guys. So
right. This
has been like crazy awesome to get to see you twice in a short
period
of time.
It's not even Easter.
I mean, we just saw you 3 weeks ago at the round table.
Let's just make this the thing. What are you guys doing in 3 weeks? Let's just
do it. Coming to Charleston, not Charlotte.
Yeah. I said Charlotte. I knew
right there.
Charleston, guys.
Right there.
Charleston, not wow. Charlotte.
But anyway, in our relationship, always, if she does one thing and I hear about it, I can't let it go, and vice versa.
Yeah, totally. We got to hold each other accountable.
That's a good way to put it.
That's what friendships are for. Yeah, so we just had an amazing roundtable. Tara came in. She came in and spoke with us and spoke to our ladies. And, man, we can't say enough about your friendship, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I love you dearly. I mean, we've met. Maybe we can tell that story a little bit of how we met. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's just been a God. You know, when you meet those people, it's a God moment.
Yeah.
It's a God encounter, you know. All four of us sitting in here has been a God orchestrated moment in life.
For
and
sure.
I don't take it for granted.
No,
so.
I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful. So I met Lee. Was it an art conference or was it a worship roundtable? That's the part I can't put back together.
No, it was art conference in Jacksonville, Florida.
You are so right. Okay, so I met Lee because the Lord is good. And Pastor John Larson here at Church of the Highlands said, hey, there's this girl called Lee. Like, you just need to get to know her. And so he just kept, every time I would see him, he was like, have you met Lee? Have you guys connected yet? No. So a couple of days before this conference, I broke my arm really, really badly. And I was in a big cast, and it was just so tender. And I rolled up at the art conference, and we sat, the very first thing we did was gather for a meal. And I think it was like Mexican or something. I think it was like burritos. At any rate, I sit down and I realize like I cannot physically eat my food because it would require me to cut it up. I'm right-handed. I had broken my right arm. And so just then this lovely girl with the sweet tea southern accent comes and plops down beside me. Hi, I'm Lee. And like,
come on, you gotta make me sound like that. Everybody listens and go,
perfect.
You sound like that.
So she comes and sits down beside me, and I was like, oh, it's you, it's Lee. And she could sort of see I was struggling. She was like, hey, let me just take that. And she just grabs my plate and starts cutting up my food and practically fed me lunch.
Friends are for.
Practically fed me lunch, and we have been fast friends ever since.
I love it.
So that's how I met Lee.
And I love it. And also, you met Bethany through me, and then we've met Elise. So, hey, that's what Women Worship's all about.
Yes.
Just building this community,
100%.
Having women in your corner. So, we love that you're on here.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun ride.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, I do want to go ahead, tell us a little bit about you. So, we said you're from Seacoast Church
in
Charleston. I've got it. I can barely say Charleston, though.
You have to say it like you're from there.
How do you say that?
Charleston. It's like there's not really
but
an
with
R.
My accent, I think
Charleston.
It might derail.
Charleston.
There you go.
Everybody try it. 1, 2, 3.
Charleston. You got it. Okay, you got it. So, yes. So, I'm from Seacoast. I have been a part of the church for 26 years. Oh, wow. I rolled up amazing. In Seacoast as a college student and didn't know anyone and needed a family in Charleston and found it at Seacoast Church. And so I've been on staff for 16 of those years and in a variety of capacities. For the first 10 years, just volunteered in worship. And then when I came on staff, I was looking after a variety of, you know, size of venues and that type of thing, and then on to looking after our main campus, and now I have the honor of looking after all of worship for Seacoast Church.
Crazy.
It's totally crazy. I am married to my boyfriend 22 years, and
wow, you've been with Seacoast longer than you've been with Greg.
This is true. This is true. So yeah, Greg and I have been married for 22 years, and we have two boys who are just incredible. I have an 18-year-old, and he's almost 18, almost 12. Two boys, they're just awesome.
Yeah, she has a great family. Just Greg's a nice guy. I just love that guy.
I love him too.
Yeah, you love him.
Good dude. Good,
you love him.
He is a good dude. I love him.
Well, we're so glad you're here. So it's gonna be fun. Y'all ready to just let's dig in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So I just kind of want to bring up something that you said. Let's just start it like this at the round table. I'd love for you to unpack this, because when you said it, even Elise and I were talking and she picked up on it, mm-hmm. you know, when we were all together. And you said something like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said when God whispers, it means that he's close to you.
Right.
Not that he's not whispering to try to get you to figure out where he is.
Right, right.
Because,
right.
I mean, like, if our perception, our perspective of God is off, we can look at it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we can't hear you. Where mm-hmm. are you?
Yeah.
So maybe, like, unpack that thought a little bit for us.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think sometimes in life, I don't necessarily think that we go into it thinking, like, oh, God's trying to trick me right now. Like,
right.
I don't think it's that hard, but I think it's just a, God, I can't, like, I'm feeling a little lost here,
yeah.
and I would just love some direction.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Lord does come in the wind and in the fire. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes he does come big.
Right.
But most of the time, he's coming really small.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for him to come small, you know, come to us very small and quiet, like we have to quiet ourselves to be able to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if our world is loud, and our life is loud, that still small voice is going to be really easily, you know, not heard or shut out. And so, I think just that, it's just, you know, really what you said, like when he whispers because he can.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he's close, he
right.
can, he just whispers and
right.
he's just right there.
Right.
He doesn't have to shout at us to get our attention. He's just right there. And so he whispers, because he's close and he can.
Yeah.
And so the kind of the picture that I have is really just of someone just not, you know, that shout whisper. It's not that. It's, you know, like when you're trying to get someone's attention across,
right.
and you're going, hey, you.
Yeah,
it's not that.
Yeah.
It's just like, just these very small utterances, just,
mm-hmm.
you know, something maybe only you would understand. And, yeah.
But it just created, like, a really beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Of just the nearness
yeah.
of God.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, ladies, we're juggling a lot of things.
Yeah.
And our life gets really loud really fast.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if we are spending time with the Lord, and even if we are, you know, having intimate times with Him in worship, sometimes even all of that is loud.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to get super quiet just to hear that still small voice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's important too sometimes, just to piggyback off that, for us to be very careful about the fact that the search for the Lord, even in the Word and in who He is and knowing more about Him, doesn't negate the small whisper that's always there.
Yeah.
It's almost like that whisper is what comes alongside you and aids you in your search for Him, because God's always still saying that we ask and keep on asking. We seek and keep on seeking. We knock and keep on knocking.
That's right.
You know, even from New Testament to Old Testament, you know, search for me and you'll find me when you search for me with your whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's always still, I think, that look just because I feel like God loves, not even, like you said, not because he's not close, but I think the Lord loves the lean in and the discipline on our end it takes to listen.
Yeah, that's good.
The intentionality behind
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's really, at the end of the day, almost a revelation of your heart and where you are and what you're willing to set aside or quiet, like you said, just to say, you know what, God, I value what you have for me more than what I'm filling up my days with.
Yeah, that's
I guess if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's great.
So I love that. Because I love that you kind of came back around, too. It's not because he's far or because he wants to. It's just because he's close. I think in the first time I heard you say that, you were making the comparison of, like, you know, when you're close, you don't have to shout.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when you're close, there's a need for it to be this loud. And he does that, like you said, at times. I think more often than not, his character is because he wants us close.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when life gets super hard, it's just so reassuring to know that when he is whispering, he, like you said earlier, Lee, like, it's not because he's trying to trick you or trying to, you know, be sneaky in any way. Like, oh, I'm not really going to lay out the plan here. It's he is whispering because he's close and he
Which is crazy because the enemy would like us to believe those little lies like that.
Right. Well, I think that's maybe why we fill our days with more, because we have that, like, human mentality is, if I can earn your approval, will have to say things and do things and reveal your heart to me. And that's not who God is at all. It's not about the earn of approval. It's about the condition of our heart and where we are when we come to him and what that looks like.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think I love you even describing, like, it's, we can even bombard ourselves with good things.
Yeah.
Searching for that clarity in God's voice and listening to messages and reading devotional books, when in reality we need to remind ourselves that we have direct access to the source.
Yeah.
Through his word and through his voice. And you and I, Lee, were talking about this last night, just having the discipline to quiet ourselves and literally sit in God's presence and get alone with him. And that's when the clarity comes and the reminder of our identity, and we don't have to earn and strive.
Right.
And, you know, there's, we acknowledge that everyone in this room and everyone probably listening right now is so busy. And this is such a generation of information is coming at you.
Right. Absolutely. There is no lack.
There is no lack. And honestly, I don't even know if we were created to maintain the amount of information or have the capacity to. Yeah. So, you know, Tara, looking at your life, because you're a mom of two, you know, we have all sorts of ages that listen to us and join us here on this podcast, but, you know, tell us about maybe some time, you know, you're a full-time worship pastor, which is in itself. Ministry, guys, if you're going into ministry or you want to go into ministry, you have to be careful because you'll take it home with you.
Sure thing.
Not like an 8-to-5 because ministry is people.
That's right.
So you're having to navigate your job sometimes in your family life.
That's right.
So I think we all have done that. And I have honestly put my ministry before my family so many times, which is just, I think and look up to you because, you know, you're seasoned. I'm sure you have to say, what is the most important thing for today?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not really that. I think we've talked about balance on here before, but there's not really like this balance that happens. I think balance is a tricky word because I can't balance my job and my family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I have to say, hey, what is the most important thing
right now? Yeah, right now. And you have to make those choices every single day. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be different every day. Mm-hmm. What is the most important thing? I think it was on the Women in Worship Takeover that I did a couple of months back. But I actually left church, had permission.
I did.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Permission.
I specifically asked you about this.
Yes.
I was inspired.
Yes. So I had permission to leave church sort of in the middle of one of our services and go to my son's soccer game. You know, he's mm-hmm. almost 18. This is his senior year. I have committed that as much as it is up to me, I'm going to be at, you know, all of his games this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling it the year of Ethan. And
I love that.
And so that was a moment where I had to make a decision. Like, church is absolutely important. Yes, it is my job.
Yeah.
But I have a limited amount of time left with Ethan, and this opportunity is
very short.
You know, I was
about to say, maybe you have to ask yourself, and I just thought about this, maybe I should ask myself this. Like, oh, am I going to get this time back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you just don't.
You don't.
It's a vapor.
And as a mother, worship pastor, mother, your first calling is to your family.
Yes. And there have been loads of times where I have put ministry above my family. Mm-hmm. And whether it is just because I am faced with this crossroads of college coming up or what, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just the Lord speaking to my heart. But this year, I'm really trying to make an effort to kind of flip the script on that and make sure that this year ministry does not trump family time.
Yeah.
And this is a crazy year for us. I mean, we have some stuff going on in our family life and in our personal life that could very easily be like 100% focused on, you know, ministry and not, you know, not necessarily put all the focus on our family, but we're going to try to do it the best we can. We won't get it right, but, you know, we're going to try to do it the best we will.
But, you know, honestly, making those the right decision for the right day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Comes with just really your security of who God has called you to be,
right.
Knowing that you answer to Him,
right,
more than you answer to like a system or organization or a church or you know, anyone like that. So, you know, when you were here before and where you made that statement about the closeness of God, you were talking about identity,
right. So, you know, the Lord has been teaching me a lot about identity, a lot about who I am, not only like who I am in Christ, but also just like who is T-Rex.
Yeah, so be encouraged. You know, if you're 20 listening to this, it's still,
it's a thing.
We're still working it out.
It's a thing.
Working it out. Yes, we are.
So it happens in all of us.
Yeah, it sure does. But I think down through the years, the Lord has really taught me a lot about identity and taught me a lot about comparison. I know we've talked about that at several gatherings and how, you know, you have to, you know, it's you be you in the best way possible.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's like only you can worship God the way that you can for such a time as this. And if you don't, it's like you're leaving a little gap in the kingdom where your expression of worship should be, you know, should be expressed.
Yeah.
And so we've talked a lot about that, but I think one of the things that the Lord has really just been teaching me is to really embrace who He has made me to be, and that He has not made me to be Lee with your gifts and talents or Bethany, you know, Lise. It's like He hasn't made me you guys. He's made me, and He needs me to be fully me in order to fulfill His purpose through me in the kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
I think
that's
huge.
A mic drop there. All right. See you guys later.
Thank you for joining us today. No, I think it's so huge to hear, especially no matter what age you're at, because I think I feel like I'm in a great season where I'm content in a healthy way of like, I can only do and be what God's called me to do and be right now season. And I hear that and think, now that I've been on both sides of the, oh my goodness, what's going to happen if I'm not there?
Right.
And the complete out of balance that we all experience at some point or another. And then feeling like I'm in a healthy season. It's almost like there comes a point in life and in ministry and in family where you have to start going, you know what? I'm going to have to forgive my verbiage because this is who I am as a person. I'm going to have to grow up a little bit and start identifying things that are happening in my life, my ministry, my family, my whatever, that are causing things to maybe shift and get out of whack.
Yeah.
And maybe find safeguards, find people and accountability, find whatever it takes to make sure, you know, I'm not always going to be traveling through a healthy season in Jesus' name. Maybe I am. But we're at some point, maybe as we get it out of whack or get things kind of upside down, being able to identify that and stepping back and going, no, what allowed me to be in that season of health and contentment? Where was I? Who was I with? What was I doing? And how can I now, as I've grown, get to that space in my heart and in my soul so that my ministry and my family aren't being sacrificed on the altar of me trying to figure out who I'm going to be in this season?
Gosh, that's great. You know, and I think the other things, one of the reasons I love women in worship so much is because it is all about making sure you have people in your life.
Right.
And that you're not trying to do any of it alone.
Yeah.
Because I am tempted to be way too introspective and way too, like, this is, you know,
no,
this
you?
Is not me.
No.
Okay. Because you can be a worship pastor and be an introvert.
You can.
Yes.
It is possible.
Hello, my name is Tara Banks. Yes.
Gives me hope.
It's like, Tara, what's going on?
Nothing.
No, come on, Tara.
I'm fine. What'd you eat today?
Food. Food. Yes, I'm good. Really, I'm good. But having people around you, because, you know, when I get in negative thought cycles, it's because, you know, I haven't talked to Lee this week, or I haven't talked to my friends at Seacoast this week, or I don't have that group around me who's like, girl, I'm seeing some stuff in your life right now, and that is not who God made you to be, and I'm hearing things come out of your mouth that is not reflective of who God has created you to be. What's your deal?
Totally. Yeah.
You know, and so having people around, if you don't have people around you, then you're free to think your own thoughts and say your own words.
And be encouraged to that. You know, people think, and you do, building relationships is always good face-to-face. Like, you need to have those face-to-face. But even today, like, Tara, you live 7 hours from us, but we're still in relationship.
Yep.
So if you don't have anybody in your life right now, we can always reach out. They don't have to be right in your area.
Yes.
So, like, even with Women in Worship, there's hope to build friendships outside. And still, you just have to be able to take a little bit of a risk and to trust, you know, and earn... be able to earn that trust.
Yes.
But also say, hey, I just need help.
Introverts.
You know?
Reach out and say, you need help.
Because I think people think you always have to be in the same city, the same place.
Right.
But hey, you can branch out. If you meet someone at a conference or whatever, you can build a relationship. This called phone. Somebody told me the other day, it's like, but you live 7 hours from me. And I said, you ever heard of FaceTime?
The phone.
You ever heard of the phone? I mean, I understand it's not like a face-to-face conversation because there's so much value in that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it just goes to show you that you can have friends in other places that are going through the same thing that you can connect with.
Yeah, I think a fellow introvert, even when I first met Lee, I had the intimidation of maintaining that relationship too, because I tend to err on the side of being a perfectionist. So my mentality, I know.
What?
You?
Y'all should hear her sometimes. She's like, I'm like, just stop it, Elise.
But for me, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
So what I had to learn is putting myself around you guys and you teaching me how to have friends, basically. Sadly, how to have friends. And some of my closest friends in the Women in Worship community do live. You know, a girl, Ellie, is a worship leader in Pennsylvania. Like, me and her have grown super close. And I'm like, wow, this is what adult friendships are. But yeah, it's just getting outside of yourself and realizing, like, you do need, and not just friendships around you, but people that you give permission to call
those things out
of you.
Yeah, that's important,
and
too.
And correct you. When I made that switch, I've seen a lot of growth in myself when I gave other people permission. So not like, let's just have coffee and talk about worship, but no, I'm going to give you permission to call out the things in me that you see that need to change.
That's good. Yes. Yeah. Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, it's a little bit of a risk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a total risk.
And it totally hurts. I'm not going to lie. I know we'll have conversations where, for me and my role here on staff, a lot of my, like, debrief or direct report ends up falling into Lee's lap, which is funny because we wear different relational hats. You know, we're friends away from here, but we come here, you know, we fall in our order. And I remember I had gotten so aggravated one Sunday morning with a younger worship leader guy, and I was calling Lee to just tell her all about it because we needed to talk with him because there was a better way. And I got through my whole spiel, and I remember Lee going, "Hey, do you think maybe the way that you said that probably made him feel terrible and there was a better way to do that?" And I went, "No.
That's not exactly the conversation."
And I went, "Oh, no." I got to call you back. And I remember calling this, I'm now 37, this 20-year-old kid and going, "Hey, I'm really sorry. What a terrible, I really meant good." You know, yes. I ended up, yes. But, and ironically enough, he and I, obviously, he was a younger guy, he was doing great, growing into his own, and, but that was a relationship change for he and I.
Yes.
Because she was willing and able to call that out in me, and I was willing and able to receive that.
Yes.
And then go to that person and say, "Hey, my intentions were so well and good, but I just totally botched communicating that with you."
Yep.
And I'm really sorry. And it was a game changer all the way across the board. And before he went on to another church staff, we ended up having some fantastic interaction and Sunday mornings and team gatherings.
Yeah.
And it was a relationship building all just because you got somebody in your life that's willing to say, "Hey, there could be a better way." About what you're doing. You know, whenever you're willing to, kind of like you said, you lay your stuff out, you're mm-hmm. willing to give permission to somebody to say, mm-hmm. "Hey, don't be such a turd." I can say that. This is a podcast. Don't be that way, Bethany.
I feel like there's been such a freedom in that. Like, when you're not having, like, yes, you self-assess, but other people help you.
Yeah.
There's a freedom in not having to carry that one.
And apologize quick. Just
yes.
apologize quick.
Yes.
Like, that's rip the Band-Aid off life and just...
Yes.
Listen, I was really not nice to you.
Yes.
I am so sorry. I mean, we had guys here, and they'd be like, "Did you do that right?" And you're like, "Probably not." "Probably not. Now I'm... Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to go eat my pride." Hey, thank you guys so much for listening today, and don't forget to subscribe. And while you're subscribing, please leave us a review, because leaving that review, it really helps to support this ministry, hey, and get the word out. Also, don't forget to share it with your friends and family, and follow us on Instagram so you know exactly what's happening with Women in Worship.